Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Coming to you live from Alola's Battle Royale Dome, it's the one, the only Puckle Battlecast.
Hello and welcome to Battlecast episode 48. I am your host, Seth Vilo, here today with brilliant minds to talk about what on earth we think is coming with Legends Arceus, as you saw from the title, and is, you know, probably very obvious given what time of year it is and what just came out. So, like I said, there's me here. We've also got the one, the only, P. McGee.
Hello, hello.
And joining him and me as well, we've got the great Shark Finnegan.
Hello, hello.
Good choice of opening, boys. Hello, hello is always a good standard one.
Mm-hmm. I'm used to being second to say hello, so the first person usually says hello once, and then I come on as the second introduced person and then say hello, hello. So I'm not quite I don't have a greeting being the first announced one. I need to work on that.
That's a good way to think. Y'all are hearing the inner machinations of us co-hosts and how our brains work, and
I probably could just start doing howdy myself and just go
yeehaw and all that.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness. Well, what have you guys been up to? How about we'll start with you, P. McGee, since you're not good at starting first.
Yeah. Keep the train going. I wish I could say I've been up to lots of exciting and new things in the Pokemon world. I've really just been enjoying playing Pokemon Legends Arceus. Someone when I was a kid said Arceus, and it's hard to unlearn that, I find.
I know, and Thatch keeps saying it that way too, even though I've told him it's wrong.
Yeah, they kind of confirmed it with Silvally back in Gen 7. They really picked a side with that one, and I still... my brain is struggling to adapt, but nevertheless, Pokemon Legends Arceus has been the game I've been really spending my time with. It's fun playing something and just kind of getting to meander in the world again and just kind of explore and not really have anything going on. But there's also all these little side activities you can do just because that's not been an experience I've really had in a Pokemon game. So it's very new feeling still, even though like the game's been out for a few weeks now and all the information's cataloged and everything at this point. It's still quite enjoyable just kind of wandering around, flying around in the Braviary, dropping down, sneaking up on these big, enormous alpha Pokemon and just hitting them in the back with Pokeballs. Somehow it's still very enjoyable for me, you know, even a few weeks in. So that's been my primary thing. Been doing some more draft stuff on the side because I always am doing that these days. But I've really, really been enjoying playing Pokemon Legends Arceus, which is a very exciting thing to say because obviously there was a lot of, you know, doubt and concern about those games leading up to launch. And it's been a really, really rewarding and fun experience for me as a lifelong fan.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree with you on all those counts. You've probably got a similar story, I imagine, Shark. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say there's probably three things that I've been doing. Arceus, I've been playing through that one, and I'm still kind of in the, or past the credit, or past the credits into that kind of a first part of the you know, post-game stuff that you're supposed to be doing. I haven't gotten too much to do that one recently, though I did get myself a shiny Goomy during my playthrough, which I was super happy to use, and a shiny Quillfish. I just flew over the head and just like, I just hear the little chime sound like, oh god, I'm over water, where the heck is this thing? So I just like hard saved and just like, okay, where is it? And wow. I was quite pleased that it was a Quillfish there, so there's that.
Yeah.
Been doing some Draft League. And then lastly, I've been doing just the more Renbat splits, which I managed to peak at 150 on the ladder. So I was quite happy that I got that high.
That's right. I think you posted that in one of the threads on the Discord. Is that right?
Yep. I just posted up in Smogon that I end up getting up there 15-12, 150. And then I kind of had a losing streak afterwards, but that's just how it goes. You just get moments where it's like, okay, you're rolling. And then like, you cut, like, okay, I've got the feel for it. All right. I know if and when to Dynamax. And then other times like, nope. I had a match today that I posted, which was really fun, where I was just like, I had this rest, talk, bulk up, circle throw.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Despite the fact that I never got to rest because my opponent had Feeny, and I realized, I can't rest when there's Misty Terrain up. But still, with the bulk up leftovers, I just literally just spammed Circle Throw, and I, like, chunked his team quite a bit, including the Feeny, which was, like, I almost got it KO'd, just because it's, like, it never killed me. I just kept, you know, bulk up, Circle Throw.
Oh, my word. That had to be infuriating. That's hilarious.
It definitely wore him down, and then I just, you know, he has a Yveltal in there as well, but I was like, I have Zacian as my counter. It's like, well, I think I wore down his team enough for Zacian just to clean up.
That's incredible. Ranbats are fun. They're sometimes fun to just hop in and do a little bit of.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Especially when it's like, when you're playing with and against crazy things like Moody Glalie. I end up beating and opposing Moody Glalie just because I had Calm Mind Crest.
I remember the hot minute that was allowed in OU, and that was just awful. Yeah. They're like, well, maybe it's not broken this gen, and then it was just like 2 days of absolute pain, just losing to
Sub, Disable, Earthquake, Freeze Dry. That's such a good dirt.
I think it was Protect. I think it was like they didn't even bother with the Earthquake. It was just
Protect, Sub, Icy. Freeze dry. Protect, Sub, Freeze Dry.
Yeah, Ranbats gives you Earthquake, and that's what I used, and I was like, I was able to demolish my opponent pretty well with it, but the fact that the Crest is immune to Earthquake, and Calm Mind, I can be able to outbulk his Freeze Dries, and I had dual attack plus recovery, so I was like, yeah, no, I can beat this.
Okay.
I end up getting +4/+4, and it's like, oh, you disable Psy Shock. Okay, I'll use Moonblast instead.
Oh. Ugh. At least they tried to fix it by taking away the evasion boosting, but still. Blech. Oh, well. Well, I've been kind of in a similar boat to you guys. I've pretty much, unlike you, though, been only really doing Arceus. I don't really have a whole lot on the side other than TCG to distract me from Arceus, so that's what I've been mainly doing.
Well, that's fine. TCG should be ramping up here soon.
Hopefully. And I just came up with a couple stupid ideas that seem to be kind of working, but that's a very different topic than what we're talking about here. And I've just gotten through the credits. I've done a couple of things after that. Just as a note for listeners, there's probably going to be a little bit of spoilers in this show based just like what's in it. So if you've been trying to avoid, you know, what Hisuian forms there are, maybe a couple of things just prior to the credits, just mechanically. We're not going to get into the story or anything, but the actual Pokemon themselves, the data, the meat and bones of Pokemon, you'll probably get a couple spoilers there, just as a word of warning at the very beginning.
There's definitely one Pokemon that I know we'll be discussing at some full length that is a late post-game Pokemon.
Yeah. Yeah, not, for sure.
Yeah, so it's totally new, you know, word of warning. If you don't want to get spoiled,
come back in a couple weeks.
Maybe come back to this episode. Yeah,
or finish the game and then come back to us. Just yep, speed exactly. through all the story,
or bookmark this episode until we get these things in home or into a new game, and all of our hot takes are very, very wrong. So you can bookmark it.
Yeah, that about, too.
That's true.
Tell
too,
us about
yeah.
how all these stupid ideas we have right now make no sense in a few months. But
Yeah.
You
We're
do as you
try
want.
To be balanced here in our discussion with what yeah. is current and what we expect to be, but we'll see.
We're pretty good guessers, but we're not the best, so we'll see what happens. No armor evolution ever happened, so, you know, see what good I am. But anyway, with that, we'll go ahead and try and get to the actual fun part where we discuss Hisui and all of its fun additions, and we will hop on over to a very quick tier time.
It's tier time.
And welcome back. It is the short version of tier time. So short, in fact, we're cutting out an entire tier. We are not going to really say anything about Ubers because, number one, there's nothing new yet.
Also, it's Ubers.
Also, it's Ubers. Like, we have nothing to talk about right now. We might in a month, but right now, nothing. So, yep. We're skipping Ubers and hopping directly into OU, where, much like Ubers, not a whole lot has happened tiering-wise. OU nowadays has a lot that has to happen if it's going to have tiering action. It's a pretty balanced tier, if we're being completely honest. Now that they've gotten rid of the big, ugly, nasty things, and there's no stupid crap like Megas and Z-moves and all that to really just be the next thing that's bopped.
Yeah,
so.
Very stable.
It is.
Yeah, it's even it was fairly stable before, even with Kyurem there, but now
it was
it's gone,
yeah,
and it's still stable.
Mm-hmm. So the SPL tournament wrapped up, and after that, a new viability rankings went into effect just to kind of reflect the trends and things from that, as well as the overall meta as a whole. We're still in the back end of Kyurem being completely gone since last episode of the Battlecast, so things have kind of started to settle out. Things have found their real place now. One such thing is, for some reason, which I was honestly surprised by, Dragapult has taken a little bit of a hit. I was expecting that to really pop off as people just plopped that on their team as a dragon special attacker, but
yeah.
Apparently people were ready for that, and they started running pretty good checks to Dragapult, more special defensive walls in general. Landorus Therion, for instance, who's now sitting above 50% usage again, is almost... I know.
Shocking.
It's amazing. But most of the time, it's run pretty much mostly special defense, not defense. Because what are you walling with a Landorus Therion as far as physical attackers go? You're walling Zeraora anyway. You don't need the defensive stats. You're not walling arguably the best physical attacker in the tier, Weavile, no matter how much defense you run. So you might as well even those out after the Intimidate boost, or rather subtraction from the opponent,
yeah.
and be able to take random hits from Dragapult, Heatran, a Tornadus Hurricane if it hits, things along those lines that so you even out those defenses, and it works out pretty well. So that and among other things, has made Dragapult fall a little bit.
Makes sense.
Weavile, yeah. Weavile, as I mentioned, is the token fast boy, other than Zeraora itself, but Weavile's tearing the tier up now that there's no ice-type competition with Kyurem. It was recently updated to be an S- rank in the viabilities, so expect to see Weavile everywhere.
And with Weavile getting more and more popular, that obviously takes a knock on Dragapult, because there's a mon that just smacks that around.
Yep. Ice Shard hits hard, and it doesn't care about Dragapult's speed. On the topic of things bumped to S rank, Ferrothorn, of all things, jumped from A+ to S- because of how good it is right now. A lot of entry hazard bulky offense teams are really, really taking off now that they're not really hindered by Kyurem being able to just two-hit KO everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Rocky Helmet has become one of the big items of choice on Ferrothorn. It's probably still going to be running leftovers a majority of the time, but Rocky Helmet might be there, I don't know, 3 times out of 10? A lot. The most common item after leftovers, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Catching U-turns, etc., etc. And Tapu Fini, who was previously pretty high up there, took a pretty big hit because of this Ferrothorn spike in usage and effectiveness. And Clefable is, number one, a great partner for Ferrothorn, because it can also play the hazards game and fits really well into bulky offenses.
Yeah.
It also kind of does well against opposing hazard bulky offenses, too, especially with Calm Mind. Calm Mind Clef is having a huge spike right now. If you're not doing utility Stealth Rock Setter or whatever, it's probably going to be Calm Mind. Or Trick with either Scarf or Sticky Barb is making an appearance as well.
Yeah, it's your favorite.
Nothing derails a game plan worse than a turn one's Trick with a Sticky Barb, let me tell you.
Yeah. I'm personally running it on my own team now with the Volcarona, so when Heatran comes in on the Clefable, which it normally can, no sir, here, have this.
So good. I love
God,
it.
That item.
Yeah. Listen, it does so well.
Yeah.
Just screws up any math you have, because you just forget about it, and it's like, oh, no, that's an extra 12% off.
Yep.
Or whatever it does. I don't know. It does a chunk.
I think it's 12.5.
Ew. Yeah, but that.
Even grosser.
And then three more just quick little trends for OU. Melmetal has really taken off, especially in tandem with something else like another steel type, mainly for the Kyurem era. And Garchomp. Garchomp Melmetal is a potent core that's happening. It's also started dropping the protective pads for Leftovers and Protect instead. That seems to be the go-to set right now for Melmetal. Slowbro is arguably the best bulky water in the tier at the moment. Hail has essentially died. And Scizor, now that Kyurem is gone, has no reason to exist in OU anymore. So
I mean, it's like a soft, like, it's a solid answer to Weavile, but like, it's not necessarily the best answer. And Corviknight does it just as well.
Kind of. It really takes a beating from knockoff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. It's only 100 defense, isn't it? Or is it more than 100 defense?
I think it's 100 defense, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, then I guess Corviknight's just a better answer overall if you're trying to handle the spamming of a Weavile.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Sorry, at least Scizor resists ice, but yes, it has a rough time here. Too many things hurt it, and it doesn't do enough back. So,
especially if it's knocked off its item.
Exactly. All right, that's OU, though. Let's keep trucking along. How about you, McGee? What's going on there?
Well, the big happenings in the last month was that the Thunderous Suspect test completed, and it is staying in UU. And it dropped in viability ranking, too. I guess people might have started to figure it out a little bit, so it's not as scary anymore. So it's sticking around. Mandibuzz is making some waves, which is cool for Mandibuzz. It was hot for early Gen 8 OU, and it's kind of slowly fallen down, so it's good that it's doing well in the UU realm. It's got a good roll compression, great wall, handles Amoongus pretty well thanks to Overcoat, and it really is just a solid answer to a lot of physical attackers. Celesteela continues to be a pretty solid mon in the tier. Two different sets, you know, you got your OU, or you got your, you know, the common OU one of Leech Seed Protect, that was always very good. And then the new style set with Meteor Beam and Automize for the sweep. So either a really passive, painfully stally Celesteela, or one that's just going to try to sweep you in six turns. One of those two are going to show up when you see him in team preview, and you just don't know which. That's basically all that's happening now. Not a lot, which is no surprise. It's early in month one of the next 3 month shift.
Yeah.
And it makes sense with Excadrill being it.
Oh.
Yeah, go ahead, Shark.
When looking at some of the 3 month cutoff projections, kind of based on usage, Hippowdon has a potential right now to be dropping to UU, and that would make things really spicy just because Excadrill lives there.
Yeah.
That's just something I saw. I'm like, ooh, that could make things very interesting if sand actually makes a comeback.
Return of sand.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. And so that's UU. I guess we can keep moving right along. RU and Shark, tell me about what's going on there.
They just had a suspect test on a nice, big, bulky, hard-to-predict setup Pokemon Necrozma that they did ban with just a little bit over the majority there. But yeah, it was just with all the different sets you can run with it, with Swords Dance, Dragon Dance, Meteor Beam, Calm Mind, with the bulk. Fact that you can't one-shot it thanks to its Prism Armor. Makes it just a pain for anything down there to really break. So they say goodbye. And leaving kind of letting Reuniculus continue to be the big primary Pokemon in that format, having an S being the S tier psychic type right now, just because it does a lot of that setup stuff really well. Additionally, Jellicent's doing well in the tier again. It checks Reuniculus fairly well, a lot of as well as other things like Flygon, Cobalion, Nidoqueen, and it breaks some of those fat cores pretty well. Obstagoon is doing really well. I think it jumped up to being number 4 in usage this month in that tier, kind of requiring you to kind of bring Cobalion to kind of counter it, since Justified at least, you know.
Yeah, it takes away the knockoff spam.
Exactly.
And it resists both its moves. Does it get close combat?
It gets close combat. Yeah, so
it gets Seed Bomb.
It's got good coverage.
Man.
It's not one you want to accidentally switch on if you don't have the right answer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It's got a lot. And according to the stats, Crobat has a 70% win weight. So it might be a good option to kind of put on your team as a good offensive piece, or, you know, just good utility support, just because it has Defog, Roost, U-Turn, Super Fang. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no, 70% win weight's really high. And lastly, Gardevoir is doing pretty well in this tier, being the third best Scarfer behind Flygon and Togekiss.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, I'll take the next tier then. We're trucking through this to get to the fun part. So, we are in NU, and they actually had a ban as well. They banned Slush Rush, the ability that is, you know, Sand Rush for hail. Mainly, it was because Alolan Sandslash was the main offender and main abuser of that ability. It has a lot of coverage that it can run to stop what are normal counters down at this level. Even Talonflame doesn't outspeed the darn thing when it's in hail. I almost said when it's in sand. Wow. it's got Rock Slide to hit it. It's got Triple Axel for crazy damage. A bunch of other pretty darn good physical moves. So you would think, why not just ban Sandslash Alolan? And that's because the next one would just be Bear Tick, and it would just keep going from there. So they just bopped that ability specifically because it wasn't going to stop with the Sandslash, and Bear Tick would just be the next problem.
Yeah, I think because of that, I think Alolan Sandslash and Sandshrew are both just hard banned from the format because they have both their abilities are Snowcloak or Slush Rush.
Oh, wow.
Because I don't think it can run any ability. Because I remember seeing that announcement that just said Sandshrew was banned too, and I'm like, oh, poor guy.
Wow. Yeah, those are its only two abilities. So yeah, you cannot use Alolan Sandshrew or Alolan Sandslash in tiers and you are below. Wow.
Yeah.
Poor guys. That's hilarious.
Yep.
But yeah, as he mentioned, since it's banned in NU, that also affects PU, which we'll let P. McGee talk about here in a minute. But yep, so that's that one. The other thing happening in NU right now is Goodra is having a suspect test at the moment. The voting ends February 18th, if you want to get in on that tiering action. So go play some games and see if Goodra is too much for the tier, folks. The general opinion right now is pretty mixed. A lot of people say that it's really just a problem at Team Builder, and maybe not as much in practice, because it is unpredictable. It does have a wide move pool, but it has a lot of flaws when it actually comes to being in the battle, and if you figure out what its moveset is. Also, a thing keeping it back is you don't really need, unlike, say, Obstagoon, that we talked about a minute ago, you don't really need to run a specialized counter for Goodra. The things that are naturally good in the tier at being a special wall are pretty good at taking on Goodra in a general sense. Of course, if it's running Power Whip and your check is Diancie, you're going to have a bad time. Same thing with like Iron Head or something like that. But for the most part, it's able to be checked by the general special walls. But as I mentioned, it's very unpredictable. an expert belt set to take advantage of specs being really common, for instance, would be devastating if you play it correctly. And hacks can come in clutch at the right moment. Thunder is a very common move for Gudra to run, and that 30% paralysis chance can really put do a number to things if you call it at the right moment. So go play some Gudra games, folks, and see if it's too much. I haven't played NU in a while, being completely honest, so I don't know. I can just figure from what I'm reading. So here we are. On top of that, Talonflame is still doing Talonflame things, and it's doing it very well. It's a utility burn spreader and fast revenge killer. It can defog, but honestly, defog's not all that good in NU, really. And it's got so many other options that it does just so much better than trying to defog on things. Between Roost, Brave Bird, U-Turn, Will-O-Wisp, etc. I mean, it's got so many moves that you could be running instead that it's far better to run those. And finally, the other thing that's really notable is Vileplume does Vileplume things and can wall like half of an opponent's team just by existing. So, do yo Vileplume, folks. That's part of what Talonflame's for, I imagine. But even then, Strength Sap at the wrong moment can really ruin its day. Remember, Talonflame has a lower attack stat than Gastrodon. So, that is NU. Wrap us up with PU, P. McGee.
Yeah, let's talk about the developments in PU. Obviously, the Slush Rush ban persists down here as well. Not a lot otherwise is going on. Ninjas
yeah.
is doing pretty well as a decent late game attacker. As long it can't, if you need to be have good team members to break the rocks and steals, because Ninjask has atrocious coverage unless you're going to get real techie with like Power Herb Dig. Really, it doesn't have a lot of answers to that. Druddigon is a pretty solid offensive option down here. Druddigon has like a 120 attack stat as well as Sheer Force. So you pair that with Life Orb, all of a sudden it's smacking harder than Nidoking if you can get a move with a secondary effect like one of the elemental punches or something like that. Other than that, though, a whole lot of nothing. But maybe Shark's got some more notes for us on what's happening elsewhere.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just a few extra notes. ZU, they just had a spec test on Aurorus that went as it fell down, but they hard banned it 15-0. It's still got a really good potent ability and everything. So it just, yeah, it just still hit, hurts like a truck, and they decided it was too much for that format.
Mm-hmm.
But it was 15-0, which I have not seen in any of the systems tests so far.
A
like
unanimous ban.
Completely unanimous for one of the ones that they suspect. And then
right.
BDSP, I know they've just got RU unlocked, but more importantly, in the OU, Manaphy was banned. They did have a suspect for it. Yeah, it was. I think some people on our server were feeling like Manaphy was fine, I think with Latios being a pretty good check to it. But still, it's like, I know it was a problem initially because rain was gross in BDSP.
Yeah.
But without rain, it's still good. And I think there was still a lot of water, so like I didn't feel like it had to be banned, but yeah.
It's gone now
banned, so we'll see what that trickles down to later on, but otherwise that's it.
That is it. And that is it for tier time too, so let us wrap it here, and we'll be right back with the meat and bones of the topic. What is Pokemon Legends Arceus potentially gonna bring to the tiers? We will be right back.
And now for our main topic.
And welcome back to the topic. It is, as I said before, what is Pokemon Legends Arceus potentially going to be bringing to the tiers and all those kind of things like that. So we've got three main sections for you today. And that is, number one, the new Pokemon themselves. Number two, the new moves introduced. And number three, how movesets were altered in the game and if that transfers over into the regular games. So we're
going
to go ahead and
Penguin
start.
We'll get to later on.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, I've been hyping that up in the Discord, so that's not even a spoiler if people hear that. So let's go ahead and start with some of the new Pokemon. This is going over both the brand new things like Weirdeer, for instance, that didn't exist in any form prior, and the Hisuian forms like Arcanine. So let's, I guess, just start from the top with good old Weirdeer. What do we think is going to happen there? It's cool that it has equal attack and special attack stats, so it really can be adaptable depending on what moves it gains once it finally crosses over.
I've talked about this elsewhere. I really dislike Weirdeer's stat spread because it doesn't know what it wants to be. It's got decent offensive spread, but it has a 65 speed stat, so what's it going to do with that? It has a really nice HP stat, but it's got really bad defenses, so what's it going to do with that? It just doesn't know what role it wants to be, and so I don't know if it's ever going to be able to shine in an exciting way, and I really think it's going to struggle. But I could be wrong. It will, in theory, get access to Stantler's move pool over time if they give it away to evolve outside of Pokemon Legends Arceus, just because this is notable here, actually. Weirdeer isn't coming from Hisuian Stantler. Weirdeer is just coming from regular Stantler. So in theory, everything Stantler has learned over the last 25 years will be accessible to Weirdeer at some point. The problem
Things like Sucker Punch, Psyshock. Yeah, it's got Sucker Punch from way back Move Tutor in Platinum, Heart, Gold, Soul, Silver, Gravity, Wild Charge, Psyshock, Bounce, Body Slam, Curse, Detect.
If it had Recover, I'd be more excited about this Pokemon, but it kind of lacks that. I'm not overly optimistic. It does have some potential, though, thanks to that Stantler move pool access that we'll one day see.
Yeah. And that depends on, too, because the evolution method is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
And that depends if you can transfer Stantler into the game and then out of it, or if they introduce some other way to have old Stantler evolve into Weirdeer in Sword and Shield, which personally I doubt, but we'll see.
I mean, it just needs the move to carry over, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
Either the move to carry over into PLA and back, or it to not be deleted from its remembered moveset. So
yeah, something
that's
like
an option
that. We'll
too.
See how that flows. But yeah, I think the big issue with Weirdeer is the fact that it lost its it lost speed from Stantler itself.
Yeah.
Like, it gains, like, if you look at it, it gains basically, because Stantler itself is not a great Pokemon, and that's why you barely ever use it.
That's the kindest words anyone's ever said about Stantler.
Okay abilities. Like, it has some pretty decently good abilities, but not enough to make up for 465.
Yeah. Agreed. Intimidate's cool, but
30 more HP, 10 more defense, 10 more special defense. Okay, that gives us some bulk. Intimidate now has some good use there. It does bounce up like a net 30 points across both of its offensive stats, so it can be a good mixed. But 65 speed is pretty slow if you want kind of something like this. It's not the most bulky. I mean, it might do fine. But yeah, I mean, actually, looking at its stats closely, it's almost got same defensive stats as Braviary, which is okay, but, like, it's not healing, and it's going to be able to dish an attack back, but it's not going to hit that hard. Its abilities don't benefit offensively. It's more defensive abilities, and it doesn't get any healing, so it's probably going to just... I mean, what? RU has Ranunculus... And so it's not going to go there. It's going to go even lower.
If I'm being honest, I think this is like a ZU Pokemon. Maybe.
I think
honestly.
So.
Maybe PU.
Oh, well.
But that's as high as I see it.
Let's see.
Let's keep moving on to a couple better things that actually are notable.
Yes.
So next we've got big old Axe Hands himself, Kleavor, the Scyther evolution.
Ooh, yes.
And fun trivia fact, it retains the same 500 base stat total that Scyther, Scizor, and itself have.
Which is exciting.
So,
which is great.
It's
great. And this is a good, it had good stat shifts. It was perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, it really did. It hits just as, it hits harder than Garchomp, first of all. It's got 135 attack, 85 speed, which just blows me away.
That's good. That Mammo's 80.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rotom's 86. Like, it's a little slower than a Rotom. Okay. Okay. It's fine.
That's Nido King speed with Nido King's ability, because this thing gets sheer force.
True. Yes. And it hits way harder than anything else, yeah. I think, with sheer force does.
Well, because I think we were looking at it, and the only attack right now of relevancy that utilizes sheer force, I'm pretty sure, is like Rock Slide. And I'm
That's its downside at this point in time.
There is no physical bug move that we are aware of that gives sheer force bonus, because lunge doesn't, because it's 100% secondary effect, so it doesn't get the sheer force bonus.
Yeah, it's like Twin Needle is the only one that actually lunge is affected by sheer force.
I thought lunge wasn't affected because it was 100% activation of the secondary.
It as being affected. No, wait, no. They cannot. No, I see it as being affected.
Oh.
Yeah, I see it too.
Okay. I'm checking the Bulbapedia page. Right now, it doesn't have anything that knows both lunge and has sheer force.
Yeah.
There are a couple moves like that.
There's a few. That and Steamroller and Twin Needle, the three bug moves that are currently listed as that, or that are both physical and could be affected. But yes, Scyther doesn't get any of those.
Right. So
or neither does Cleaver here.
I'm really excited about Cleaver, though, I'll be honest, because it theoretically should get U-turn access at some point or another, which is really nice because there are very, very few rock types that can pivot in competitive play.
Agreed, yeah.
That's a really rare thing to find, is a rock type that can get off the field. So having the ability to hit as hard as something like Lycanroc while also not committing to anything and just U-turning out with still getting stabbed is really cool. And it can sell stealth rocks. And this is nice, it gets close combat, which is a big development for that evolutionary line, because before, their best steel-breaking move was Superpower, which wasn't as spammable, whereas now you can kind of spam close combat, especially if you outspeed what you're spamming at. So I see Cleavor, even with just U-turn, close combat, and Rock Slide, being particularly effective in the meta.
Yeah. Agreed. Honestly, yeah. Just Sword Stance, Stealth Rock, 2-attack, or Sword Stance, 3-attack will do just fine. It's got Psycho Cut as well in its move pool, which is not terrible.
That's actually quite nice for Toxapex breaking, having Psycho Cut to work with.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have contact. It's not a contact move, so you can't get bothered by Baneful Bunker.
Oh, okay.
So there's some validity there with that move. So it'll be a useful breaking piece for the Pex part of the Pharaoh Pex core.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, let's keep trucking along with the thing that I think I'm most excited for as far as brand new Pokemon.
Oh, yes, this is my favorite boy.
We've got the man, the myth, the legend, Ursaluna, an evolution of Ursaring that gains the ground type and rearranges its stats to a godlike fashion.
God, even better.
Let me read you this stat line, because this is
gross.
This is just silly. So it's got 130 HP, 140 attack, 105 defense, 45 special attack.
Who
That's where a lot
that?
Of these points come from. 80 special defense and 50 speed. It's a slow boy. It has no special attack because it yanked 30 points from Ursaring and rearranged them where they need to go. That 130, 140, 105, 80, wow. That is just nuts.
That's so bulky. It's horrifying.
Like, it's basically Hippowdon.
It is. I've run the calc, and zero investment compared to zero investment, it is bulkier than Hippowdon on both sides.
God.
Yeah, I believe it. It's good.
Just
and it
barely
could slap an
on
AD,
physical?
I think, even better than Hippo could have.
It's just barely bulkier on the physical side, but immensely bulkier on the special side.
Yes, that's where I think the big thing, because I think Hippo had like 50 or something fairly low.
Yeah.
And had like
pretty darn
definitely lower HP.
Yeah. And what's scary about Ursaluna is the same deal as Weirdear, is that there is no Hisuian Ursaring, that's just regular Ursaring, so it's going to get access to Toxic, which means it can run some bulkier, stallier sets with Toxic Spam for whatever is actually capable of switching in on this. We're not really sure what is right now because I don't know who put the Fun Calc in it, but I'll let you read off your Fun Calc for what Ursaluna can do, because if you thought 140 attack was busted, let's not forget the fact that it also gets Guts as an ability with Stab Facade.
Yeah. So if you set up a Swords Dance, which should be a move that carries over in one form or another. Again, a lot of the move carryover from prior forms depends on if they introduce an evolution method either in Swish or allow for friendly enough handoff in PLA and back.
Mm-hmm.
But a +2 maximum attack adamant nature facade will do 67 to 79% to a maximum defense Skarmory.
It's gross.
That is a 252 impish Skarmory taking 2/3 of its health from a resisted move.
Or what's also fun to do is you could just like fire punch it once, and then on the turn it clicks recover, or not recover, roost, and grounds itself. You just click stab earthquake and one hit KO it. So
if you're slower, which is likely, because you have less speed than it does.
You're 20 speed points lower, so you can easily play your slow speed to smack it with an earthquake on a predicted roost. So this is just a menace. This is going to be the
tank.
It's the new wall breaker. Like, I mean, it's very simple, similar to like Conkeldurr's role as like a wall breaker, but it's really well suited to break through Toxapex, where I think Conkeldurr wasn't always as well suited to break.
Yeah, it's got ground moves on with stab to crack through Toxapex.
It's as is. If it were to just be brought into OU right now, it's got coverage for days. It's got it's got double edge. It's got earthquake. It's got high horsepower right now.
Yeah,
it also has a new move, which is basically a ground. It's called headlong rush, which appears to be a close combat but ground.
Yep, weaker. It's only 100 base power, but
we'll talk about the moves a bit more, but it's probably higher. But then it's got all the elemental punches. It's got Rock Slide, Shadow Claw, Stone Edge, Play Rough, Aerial Ace, Bulk Up, Rest.
It has the coverage for everything.
Giga Impact if you really want to hit hard.
Yeah.
But still, like it's got enough right there that it can hit whatever you need it to.
And if you don't want to go full offensive with your Ursaluna, if you would rather take a more defensive approach with its stat line, you can definitely do that because its other good ability is Bulletproof, which blocks a ton of really, really useful things, namely the following for Ursaluna's typing. Focus Blast, Sludge Bomb, which basically means you're immune to Gengar, FYI.
Oh, God.
Aura Sphere.
Oh, because its other move is Thunderbolt, isn't it? Oh, God.
Yep. Aura Sphere, Weather Ball, Energy Ball, Gyro Ball, Pyro Ball, if somehow Cinderace comes back, and Seed Bomb. Those are the notable ones that Bulletproof just completely blocks. So a lot of those are weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's gross. It's going to be a very impactful mon the moment it's released, especially if it gets facade access.
Solid OU. I think this is the better Hippowdon, especially if you don't want sand.
The only thing that would take it from good to busted is Slack Off.
Recovery.
Exactly.
Yeah, Slack Off or Shore Up if they ever give that to other distribution to like ground types.
Rest Guts still can do chunk.
Oh my God, I didn't think of that.
Rest Talk is
horrible.
Wait, do you get the Guts boost or you don't get the
you
facade
get
boost?
Facade.
I don't know about the facade.
Sleep Talk Facade.
You don't get one of them. One of those you
get
don't
Guts
get,
because I've used for sure this and Geo. I could thank Geo for this. Guts
with like
Rest Talk Heracross.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Facade doesn't count sleep. Okay.
Okay. Cool.
But Guts does.
Okay.
Guts counts Guts burn, does. Paralyze, sleep, poison, freeze.
Yeah.
Freeze.
Oh my gosh. Hey, who knows? Maybe they get freeze talk someday. Anyway, let's not use all of our time up on one Pokemon as good as it might be. Let's keep trucking.
but
I know. I'm just as excited.
The lowest this
so
thing will ever be is UUBL. That's the lowest this will ever be, but I'm
absolutely
confident that it's going to be OU.
Yep. So let's keep hopping. We've got Basque Legion, which has two different forms. It's got male and female. The male's the one with red, and the blue's the female's the one with bluish, grayish stripes. And they have slightly different stat lines. All the rest are the same, but for the male Basque Legion, the attack is 112 and the special is 80. For the female, the attack is 92 and the special is 100. It retains Moldbreaker and Adaptability as abilities from the Basculin line, from the just base form.
It gets rattled, which is nice to know.
It gets rattled.
Which is notable because it procs on Intimidate, so you can take advantage, especially with the female
one.
Oh my
god, it does?
You can take advantage of the prevalency of Landris, which we were just talking about having like a 50% prevalency. So there's some potential there with like female sweepers with like a calm mindset and getting that rattle boost. I think female is generally unremarkable just because 100 isn't that exciting of a best stat line. 112 on the male I think is serviceable because it should eventually get flip term access when it gets access to a game where that move exists. I think that's, you know, because Basculin has it.
Basculin does? Okay.
It does have it. So the line, it exists on the line, and I don't see why it wouldn't exist for white stripe Basculin, but you never know. But if it gets flip turn, ideally Poltergeist, because it doesn't actually have a physical ghost move right now.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I think right now, as is, the female is better based upon the move pool access.
Exactly.
It's got, because it can actually take advantage of rattled, not only from Intimidate, but the fact that you could switch in on an obvious U-turn.
Yep.
It triggers off a bug moves, so you get a plus one speed, and then your special attack is being 100 adaptability with your powerful water attacks, ice beam, shadow ball.
Yeah,
it's a 78 speed that really blows. It's just hard to work with that. It doesn't outspeed something you want it to outspeed, but it's there. I could see Scarf, Male, Basculin having a role just because of adaptability, flip turn, spam just being effective.
I think adaptability is the ability of choice, personally.
I think so.
We'll see how
it
ends up going.
I think that's what it'll be, Scarf with adaptability. But it could take it. You could run Scarf or Specs or Band with Rattled if you put in the right situation.
Yeah. And maybe one day it gets Dragon Dance. Who knows?
I don't think it'll get Poltergeist, because it feels very much like a Dragapult to me, and that doesn't get it.
Maybe.
That's just gonna, guessing, though.
Yeah, and that's the issue, is I don't think there's any other good ghost moves that it could fit, because it's not getting Shadow Claw.
In its current state, I think the female will be better, because it's got the better stats for mixed at the moment. Just knowing what we know now, not assuming anything else. Because unlike the others that we've talked about where, their base form can come in. No, only white stripe Basculin from Hisui and Pokemon Legends can evolve into this thing. Not the red stripe, not the blue stripe, only the white. So there's not really much in the way of prior gen move transfer here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Some funky breeding you can do, bringing it up, breeding a white stripe with different egg moves.
But who knows
back.
How that goes?
There right might. Now. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah.
It does have 120 HP, which is kind of cool. That's pretty
cool.
Good for a ghost.
Yeah.
That's very good for a ghost. Actually, that's like second only to like Drifblim, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Or maybe Giratina's, but that's a legendary. So different.
I'm looking at all the physical ghost moves, and I don't like. It's not like the only thing you could hope
for
Phantom Force or Shadow Sneak.
God,
everything else, it doesn't make sense because it's a fish.
So I think Shadow Ball with those are going to be the way it goes, but I don't know.
Yeah, because Shadow Claw,
Basculin's
Shadow Punch,
average,
Spectral Thief.
Average at best, UU, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll stay UU for a long time, maybe low OU because of new toy syndrome.
Yeah, new toy will do. New toy is always confusing initially because things like way over represent for the first month until people give up and realize they're garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of not garbage, though.
Yeah. And let's keep going kind of quick because we are pretty late into this and we want to give everything. Like, we want to talk so much, but I don't want a 3-hour episode for you guys.
But
go ahead. We've got Sneasler.
Stuff is added. There's a lot.
I know, it's crazy. So we got Sneasler. Go ahead, P. McGee. Talk about that one.
Yeah, so it's very similar to, what is it, to Weavile's stat spread. The notable difference is it has 130 attack instead of 125, and it has a little slightly slower 120 speed as opposed to the 125 on Weavile. Not a huge deal. It's got a really great stat spread, like I just said, and it's got some really good typing and fighting and poison, which was notably only on Toxicroak before, which struggled more so for its speed stat than the type combination. And it's got a great ability in Poison Touch, which makes it super, super difficult to switch in on this mod and take any attack unless you are a Poison type, which notably there is a very, very good Poison type in OU that it's going to have a whole lot of trouble breaking. And because of that, it might actually fall down a tier into like UU or something, just because I don't see how it gets through Toxapex right now. It has no answers for that. It doesn't have a Psychic move. So no Psycho Cut or anything, unlike, you know, its regular counterparts. But it is really scary. Close combat, Poison Jab, which has a 50% poison rate thanks to the Poison Touch stack on.
Oh my gosh.
Shadow Claw for the ghosts. It's not a very pretty looking mon, but it looks like it's going to be a fairly effective one in either the UU or OU realms, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It'd go great with a stat spreading team that's like as your fast speed control, but also still a stat spreader. Mm. So, kind of my style, but not quite.
Yeah.
Its move pull as is really strong. Like, it could just slot in right now perfectly. So,
In the interest of time, let's hit the other brand new Pokemon. We've got Overquill.
Lame.
Kind of lame, yeah.
Not design-wise, A+.
I don't dislike it. I actually think it's cool. Because, I mean, it's basically a more offensive Drapion. It has very similar kind of stat line, you know, kind of like 115 attack, 95 defense, 85 HP, 85 speed. So it kind of hits a lot of the same kind of area that you could with a Drapion.
Yeah.
Which it needs some tech. That's what it doesn't have right now. It doesn't have Destiny Bond tech. It doesn't have Pain Split tech. It doesn't have Toxic Spikes, annoyingly, at the moment. So it needs a little more utility to work with, and then I think it's more usable. I still don't... You know, Drapion's not overly a remarkable mon in the Smogon ladder either. I'm guessing it probably hovers in like the RU range if I were to take
a stat. I think so. I think that's where it's like at.
Yeah. So I can see this being decent as like a hazard setter, but it just doesn't have a lot of utility at the moment. And because it's coming from Hisui and Quillfish, there's no we don't know for sure if it's going to get some of those utility moves. We don't actually know if it's ever even going to get Toxic or Toxic Spikes anytime soon or Destiny Bond. All the things that Quillfish has kind of collected over the last 25 years, we don't know if Overquill is going to see those anytime in the near future. So I see this struggling out of the gate, probably falling to PU, but we'll see.
Yeah. I think that's where, right now Drapion is in you. I think it's a little less than Drapion at the moment. I think it has a chance to push Drapion out of NU and potentially go up higher, because that's a really good Poison Dark's a really good type combination.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think once it gets like Pain Split and Toxic Spikes, I think that almost puts it there. Give it a physical Dark move. Because right now it's relying on Dark Pulse. Though it's got a good signature move, which is basically a physical poison hex. So that could be really that could be really good once it gets Toxic Spikes on like status spam team.
Yeah, I guess there's potential there. I'm just not thrilled about it right now. I mean, I need to see it get a lot of it needs a lot of help.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
it'll need a lot of things added to its move pool on transfer.
I think, it's got it's at a very low floor, but I think it has a pretty high ceiling because it's got good enough stats to push it up a lot higher. I don't think it's going to go OU, but.
Well, speaking of going OU and having high ceilings, let's hit the last new Pokemon. We've got an addition to the Force of Nature group. We've got Enamorous, the Medusa him from the Powerpuff Girls, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The love-hate Pokemon. And
the love-hate Pokemon is its classification, yes. It is 100% female, fun fact, as we discovered by looking at the Serebii thingy-majiggy. It is a fairy flying.
Yep. And
this is that thing that Shark was talking about, the big post-game thing. So
yes.
If you haven't seen it yet and don't know what we're talking about, you probably haven't found it yet.
Yeah, and it's worth it because...
It's scary.
Yeah, because right now, baseline, it's a genie. So you're talking about Yu probably on hearing the name of it. Yeah, like, oh, it's a genie? Okay, Yu.
Incarnate, yes. I think Therian is hot garbage with that stat spread, and it's going to be terrible.
I disagree, but we'll get there in a bit.
Yes, that's so fine.
As is, it's got 74 HP, which actually is a little lower than the other genies, but it's got 115 attack, 70 defense, 135 special attack, 80 defense, and 106 speed. So it's a little faster.
106 number. Is that the first of the 106s ever? Have we had a 106?
First to 106 and first at 74. So it's like slightly, it's got more offense right out the gate compared to all the genies.
Ton more offense. 135, that's Volcarona and like Magnezone and Heatran level special attack.
Yeah, because the other incarnates are 125. But it trades away a little bit of its health and a little bit of its speed comparatively. But.
Yeah,
but
well,
it's
no,
worth
it gains
it,
a little. Well, yeah, compared to the other two, yeah, it's faster than Lando, but slower than Thunderous and Tornadoes. So, yeah,
yeah, and
it's got a good enough move pool too. The abilities that we have that we can see right now are Healer and Contrary. You would think, gosh, Contrary, that makes it busted instantly, doesn't it? And the answer to your question is no, because it gets at this moment. Emphasis on at this moment. No moves that viably benefit from Contrary.
Yeah, no.
It's got, like, Calm Mind, which obviously with Contrary would be awful. It's got its signature move, which all the forces of nature get a cool new storm-themed move. Mm-hmm. This one has the chance for an Omni Boost, which with Contrary would be sweet hot garbage. So,
yeah, true.
Yeah. It essentially doesn't have an ability for its current move pool. As Shark pointed out off air, all the genies get both superpower and hammer arm, so we'll find out if that remains true.
Because if that's the case, then you got a scary physical offensive threat. 106 speed.
A mixed monster.
With decent enough stats to keep spamming the boot, you know, your defense and attack boosts. Zen headbutt,
single
play
hammer
rough.
Arm with speed boost. Blah.
It's gross. I think it's going to be a very good mon because it has Sludge Wave. It has like all the good moves you want a special genie to have: Earth Power, Sludge Wave, Mystical Fire, plus Moon Blast, and Psychic. There's no switch-ins for that. There's nothing that's switching into that those attacks and resisting all of them very well. I mean, obviously, there's especially defensive walls like Chansey or Blissey that can handle that. But it has a 115 attack stat. It has Play Rough. It may one day get either of those hammer arm superpower moves and be extra gross. But even just as a special attacker on the limited move pool it has, it's still really, really efficient at the moment.
Yeah. I could definitely see this leaving and being banned. Looking at its arms, and I know this isn't anything to say because, you know, Wooper can use punches, but its arms don't look very hammery. they're a little twiggy. Maybe it uses its snake scarf as a hammer instead, but it may not get hammer arm. Who knows?
You know what? Let's just give it Fleur Cannon, and that'll fix it.
There you go. There we go.
That's balanced and healthy.
Yeah, 135 scarf Fleur Cannon. That could go wrong.
What could go wrong? I could tell you what could go wrong, and that's potentially its Therian form, because as a force of nature, it's got one of those as well if you treat it to looking at itself in the reveal glass. So it becomes a turtle.
Yep.
Which is based on some Chinese myth. Is that, was it you that was pointing that out in the
Yes, I believe
the
there's a, I'm trying to remember the name of the deity. Let me look that up.
Yeah. But it,
but it's like
while you're doing that, it
or
becomes
something
a turtle.
Like that basically is like a turtle with a snake tail.
Yeah. Well, let me read you its stat line. It keeps the same 74 HP, 115 attack, and 135 special attack, but it trades that speed in for 110 defense and 100 special defense with a 46 speed stat. So it loses a lot of speed. Get same typing.
Ginbu.
Ability is now Overcoat.
There we go.
Which is interesting. Overcoat has value for like some weather teams because that could
and
be
blocking
useful.
Spore and whatnot.
And blocking Spore, which kind of helps because it's still a fairy type, so it's not actually 1v1ing a Moongus that well. But,
Breloom,
but it's got Psychic.
Yeah.
It's got
and Fairy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, Breloom. Amoongus is his poison. But yeah, I think you're kind of right. I think it'll be maybe top UU, but at that stat line,
I think this could be. Is the worst. Enamorous Therian is the worst genie of all of the genies.
Yeah,
I think
agreed.
That's probably the worst genie.
Maybe
Torn Incarnate it competes with, but...
Yeah,
that's like the only other one that I see at such a
that's
low
solid
tier.
Defensive fairy typing. There aren't a whole lot of defensive fairies, or at least we're lacking in them. So having that stat line with
but no way
the
to heal.
The issue is that your
hard.
Defensive fairy, you would want to have some sort of recovery, and this does
true.
All,
true. True.
Dream
yeah.
Kiss. It's the it's
yeah.
this Tapu Fini
yeah.
treatment.
Yeah,
it's just a
okay.
slow
yeah,
Fini.
Fair. I don't know. Draining Kiss with 135.
Yeah, no, I mean, it'll get some chunk back, and it's got Iron Defense, Calm Mind, so it's going to be a freaking tank.
It sounds like something I would play with for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, we'll play with it the moment it comes in.
I'm a monster.
Set up and...
There's just... maybe something there. It's just, it's not crystal clear, like, Incarnate, where Incarnate's like, yeah, that's going to work and do well. This one is going to need some tinkering with to shine.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep trucking because we still got a ways to go. We've gotten through the brand new things. Let's talk about the Hisuian forms, and I think we could probably go through this a little bit quickly.
Arcanine's cool.
We've got Arcanine's cool. It did not get Rockhead, folks.
So
My
it's not
are,
as
are
yeah.
Shattered.
It's very disappointing. It didn't get Rockhead.
I think basically
so
all the
excited.
Slower,
all the new forms have basically the exact same abilities as the originals. So.
Uh-huh, with a couple exceptions, but for the most part. And honestly, a lot of them have almost the same stats, too, with just like 10 to 15 adjustment here and there.
Yeah, Arcanine's a little slower, hits a little harder.
And its abilities are the same as regular.
It gets it gets Stone Edge now, which is cool, but yeah, it needed Rockhead to, I think, really shine as like a banded spammer with Flare Blitz, Rock, or whatever it is. Head Smash, Wild Charge.
Yeah.
It could have been it could have been something interesting. I think it's just lackluster right now.
It could have been a contender.
It could have been. Speaking of lackluster.
Oh yeah. We've got Electrode, the boring Pokeball. It has the same stat line as regular Electrode, the same abilities as regular Electrode, and
that's...
I think we can move on.
We can talk about it. It does have a niche. And that is, it has its good signature move in Chloroblast, which right now looks like it could be the equivalent of a grass steel beam.
But what's it going to do with an 80 special attack?
With a 150 base attack, it's going to, with specs, it'll do something. It'll hurt.
That's true.
It'll hurt.
I mean, it's an Electrode. It's going to just blow up. It's a suicide bomber.
Yeah. And it's going to spin. I mean, grass
one
electric,
way or another.
It's 50-50 on if you switch in your ground type or not.
Speaking of a better grass, though.
Oh, yeah. One of our two grass fighting boys. We've got Hisuian Lilligant, which has... This one actually has a lot of potential, honestly.
Yeah.
Notably, it's got a 105 attack, 105 speed. The rest of the stats don't matter. It's pretty frail. And it's got Hustle, which is actually interesting. So that 105 is more serviceable than you would imagine. We learned this already with the OU early on when none of the Hustle Mons stuck up in OU. We know this Hustle isn't a viable OU ability, but there's definitely some... RUUU play to be had with a mon like this.
Absolutely.
It's almost like Durant.
Yes.
Almost exactly.
Very similar speed. So I think Durant's like a 107 or something, but it's very similar.
Durant is 109 in attack and speed. This one's 105. So it's almost the same. And Durant is a monster. Also, this thing, we'll go ahead and spoil it too. This one also a lot of these get signature moves that are
really
cool.
All of these get signature moves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This one is Victory Dance, which in Legends Arceus functions as an Omni Boost, but we're thinking, just with kind of how the description is, that this is the thing that gets it. it's probably going to be physical Quiver Dance.
Yeah.
Which would be fascinating.
Because compared to like regular Lilligant, which its main gimmick is Quiver Dance, this very well could be physical Quiver Dance the first time we see it. So if that carries over and is what we think, that's scary.
It does get recovered too, so it could serve as like a similar role to Volcarona, where it's like a bulky setup sweep. Although it really does lack in the bulk department, it's, you know, it's theoretically there if the move functions like we think it might, if it translates over.
Yep, and it's got Drain Punch, Poison Jab, Aerial Ace.
There's potential
so
here.
It's got some coverage, not the greatest because it is still a grass fighting type.
Yeah,
doesn't get anything there's yet, hope. But.
It's one of the few Pokemon that resist the Edgequake combo, so it's got usage. Yeah. Its typing is pretty good, even though its defensive stats are not.
Yeah, still don't want to stay in on a flying type move, though.
Speaking of not wanting to stay in on moves, we've got Hisuian Zoroark, which is a piece of paper that woke up angry.
Yes. Yes.
It loses bulk from regular Zoroark by just a little bit. It loses some HP because ghosts don't like the HP stat.
Yeah, who needs it? They're dead.
And it drops attack by 5, so it's just at 100, to gain 125 special attack and 110 speed. So it's slightly faster, slightly specially stronger than regular Zoroark. It does retain the illusion ability.
Very great with that type combination because that's 3 immunities it can switch in on. Ghost fighting and normal.
I definitely forgot that it was part ghost when I was fighting one and tried to hit it with a fighting move.
That's a mistake.
Yep. So it's a scary thing. It has like flamethrower and things, kind of the regular Zoroark coverage. I think it still has Nasty Plot too.
Yep.
Yeah, Nasty Plot, Calm Mind, Shadow Ball, Sludge Bomb, Flamethrower, Dark Pulse. It
no
doesn't
good,
have
normal.
Hyper Voice or any normal coverage yet.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
But that's fine.
Oh,
that's just more like
for
neutral
psychics.
Yeah. It's got enough coverage. It's got a fun ability with because the issue with Zoroark regular was it only had one immunity and it just couldn't switch it on attacks at all. It was too frail. But having 3 immunities and fighting being one of them and ghost makes it much more usable in the format. So it can start switching in on attacks more often. I think it's too fickle to be OU, but it could definitely find a home in like RU or UU.
Yeah, where you think like an Obstagoon almost, where it's just kind of like it fills a similar type of niche role on your team where it's got some good immunities and hits really hard. So I think this kind of flops in around that range where it's RU right now, potentially UU. Yep.
Moving along, though, we've got another mid-ride Pokemon from in the game. We've got Braviary, who becomes Flying Psychic instead of Flying Normal. Its stats are okay at best. It's the same speed as Weirdeer, which we discussed is very disappointing, 65. 110 HP, so it's slightly fatter. A whole lot less stronger physically. A whole lot stronger specially. It's got 112 special attack. And the rest are pretty much the same.
Yeah, just
but the ability, is very matters quite a bit here.
Yes, it's got the two that don't matter, which is Keen Eye and Defiant, but it's got Sheer Force. With that 112 special attack and a Life Orb, you could do a lot of cool things.
Hurricane, Psychic, and because this comes from regular Rufflet, it should see Heat Wave at some point in the future as a move it can utilize. So it has a breaking move for steel types. So it has an option for all three where it's just smacking damage. Because 112 with a Sheer Force Life Orb is really, really scary. I mean, Nidoking normally is only playing with its 85 special attack stat for context. So this has some good breaking power. And so, the problem is, of course, it's a flying type. And so it can't deal with rocks as easily and still run Life Orb. So that's an issue. But I think this has some decent wall breaking potential in some of the lower tiers.
Yeah. I think the one thing specifically, though, with Hurricane Sheer Force is going to be so gross.
Yes. That's gross
damage. Yeah, I didn't think of that.
Yeah, I saw an image, and let me try to pull up this calc real fast. Because it will destroy any Slowking switch in.
Yeah, I think it did like 56% or something. While he's pulling up that stat, let me just tell you about this one Pokemon we don't need to spend more than 10 seconds on. Its name is Hisuian Avalug. It's Avalug, but worse in every way that matters. And it gets Ice Shard. That's all that matters. It gets Ice Shard, but it's got a terrible type. No speed and no recovery. It's garbage.
Strong Jaw makes, you know, Ice Fang cool. Icicle Shard is now a Bergmite thing, so it's, you know, it could ban. You could do banded Ice Shards, you know, in the lower tiers.
Mountain Gale, which is a better
Ice. This thing's going to ZU.
Yeah, it's trash.
Yeah,
don't even.
Yeah, there you go. But
if
here's
the
speed stat. It's 38 now. Ooh.
Ooh.
So
it's
speedier. Here's a stat for you for back on Braviary real fast.
Yeah.
252 modest special attack, life orb, sheer force, Braviary, Hurricane versus max HP, max Bedef, Slowking. 51.5% to 60.6%.
Wow. Wow.
Not a lot of switch into that. So it's gonna be a solid Pokemon, you know, when it's in some of the lower tiers. Obviously it's not OU potential, but it's got some real utility elsewhere.
I think, you look at it like a good Pokemon to compare it to is like Druddigon in terms of, you know, where it had, you know, it's, you know, slower speed, but, you know, 120 sheer force. This is going to ride around the same thing, a little bit faster, doesn't hit as hard, but it's got Hurricane hits, makes it hit harder than
because it's got the base power of the move itself.
Exactly. So that's where it probably will end up.
So we spent our 10 seconds on Avalug. Let's go on to my personal favorite of the Hisuian forms. We've got Goodra, the dragon and steel type snail, which is incredible. Let me read you its stat line.
Yeah, read the stat line. I was going to say it shares Goomy with regular, so that's really notable for getting some utility moves like Toxic later on. It should get all those through Goomy. So that's really, really good for this Goodra.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's its stat line, though. It's got 80 HP, which is less than regular Goodra by 10. 100 attack, the same. 100 defense, which is 30 higher than regular.
Whew.
110 special attack, which is the same, 150 special defense, which is the same, and 60 speed, which is slower than regular.
But
so
who
it's
cares?
More balanced. It's a more balanced stat line, but also with 150 special defense on a steel type.
Yeah.
While still having a very serviceable HP stat.
Yeah, 80 is not bad when you're not worrying about investing in speed like you would be with a base 60.
And 60 isn't a terrible
HP,
speed. You can creep.
It's not terrible, but it's not good.
But it's,
so the interesting.
It's enough that you can still creep things. It's still got the same speed as like Tyranitar and Clefable, so you could be able to put a little bit of investment to outpace them and destroy them because of its move pull and stab steel move.
Yeah, its move pull even in actual Legends Arceus, its move pull is nutty.
Yeah.
Like it retains the same Dragon Pulse, Thunderbolt, Fire Punch, Ice Punch. Ice Punch?
No, Ice Punch. It got Fire and Thunder Punch.
Ice Beam? I think it gets Ice Beam.
Nope, it's got all the elemental beams.
Sludge Bomb still.
It has a new move that it will not be allowed to run if it retains the same effect in Sword and Shield, which is Shelter. It's the new move that it gains. It boosts your defenses as well as your evasion. If it keeps that, that move is going to be lumped together with Double Team and just not allowed, which is unfortunate.
It's weird.
But
because,
if it just changes, if its effect changes somehow, maybe it'll be usable. I don't know. Probably better options, honestly.
That's true. What I do like about... So Dragon Steel is a fickle typing because you lose a lot of resists for both of those types by sharing.
Very
those.
True.
But it works well on Goodra, especially as like a specially defensive wall, because all of a sudden you have this dragon type that can tank moon blasts and not really care, especially if you're running an AV. Like, it's just taking those for neutral damage. So they're doing like 15-20% max, and you have the coverage with like Sludge Bomb to smack back. So it ends up being decently well serviced by this type combination because it's just such a fat mon that it's more than content to take neutral damage as opposed to taking any sort of super effective damage. And I believe that's only fighting in ground with that type combination.
Correct.
Yeah. So it's in a really good spot. It takes a lot of neutral attacks, but it's okay doing that because it has the bulk to do it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's got extra ability wise too.
Things same like abilities.
For the most part. Overcoat's a new one for the line.
Yeah.
But it's not... I talked about it in the Discord a while ago. The general thinking among us that talked about it is Sap Sipper is probably the better ability.
Yeah, because it does the same thing.
The only difference is you don't take hail.
Kind of.
That's the only difference.
Don't take hail. Who cares? But you're now completely immune to Leech Seed, Spore, Stun Spore, Poison Powder if that stays, but who cares? You're a Steel type. They changed it to Grass type in Legends Arceus for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, you would be immune to that too. But the big ones are Leech Seed and Spore and Sleep Powder.
Yep.
Gooey is also its hidden ability, but who cares? That's a gimmick.
It has some use again, because it actually can make some of those 80, like the, if you can make a Mamma Swine drop its speed below you, that'd be kind of fun.
How does it,
Mamma Swine doesn't make contact.
As I say, unless he's running like high horsepower or something, he's not touching you.
You're going to be catching a lot of U-turns with this thing anyway, because you're going to be switching it in on things that like to do that, and that just disables the speed boost drop because it switches out.
Fair.
So still, I don't think it's the best one.
I mean, it's got draft utility, Gooey does, but that's the only place I ever see Gooey show up as in draft. It doesn't really show up on Zogon.
Yep. So moving along, we've got the three starters. They all got a Hisuian form. I don't think Decidueye is all that great.
It's
a whole lot slower.
It's worse Chestnut. In every way, basically. Yeah.
Well, I think it's got potential somewhere with its move. Triple Arrows is really cool. It's 50 base power in Legends Arceus, so it'll probably be something around that, 50, 60, when it transfers.
Yeah,
it transfers.
Probably 70 max, depending on how they they make the ability work.
But it drops your opponent's defense and raises your critical hit ratio. So, if you're holding something like, I don't know, what is that thing? Razor Claw?
Scope Lens.
Yeah, Razor Claw or Scope Lens.
Thank you.
Both of the same.
Scope Lens. So, first of all, it retains long reach, so you don't make contact with these moves. None of them. And this is what I ran in the game. You hit something with triple arrows, drop their defense, while also increasing your crit rate, and your other moves are things like Leaf Blade, Shadow Claw, some other move that has a high natural critical hit ratio, so that your next move following is always a crit.
That's solid.
Yeah.
I'm sure it gets Leaf Blade access still. So, like, it can...
Yeah.
You don't even... No, yeah, with Leaf Blade access... With Leaf Blade in the Scope Lens, it's 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the way to run this thing, is physical crit thing.
And Psycho Cut do nice work there.
Yeah. But that's the best I think it can do. This one does get spikes, but it's not going to use them. It's just not.
Yeah, has again, wrist too, draft so utility, sure, typing. But yeah, not on ladder. It's going to be just kind of a worse chestnut in most respects. But it'll have a niche. It won't be the bottom, but I think it's just kind of ride that middle area.
Yeah, it'll be something to watch for in low tiers, but
that's
it. How slow it is really just bothers me. Oh, well.
Yes, 60 is slow on this thing.
I wish they'd have dropped its special attack completely.
It's as fast as
Gudra.
That
would have been good.
And Gudra has a big old shell on its back. So, and this is supposed to be like a sneak archer?
Yeah, I guess. Looks like Skull Kid from Zelda. Anyway, moving on to another starter, we've got the dead Typhlosion. We've got Hisuian Typhlosion, which gains the ghost typing.
This is worse Blacephalon.
It's worse Blacephalon, yes. Drops a little bit of HP and a little bit of speed for both of those to go into its special attack, so it no longer has the exact same stat line as Charizard.
Mm-hmm.
Hooray. It does get a cool new signature move, Infernal Parade. It has a hex effect on it, so if the opponent has a status effect on them, it doubles the damage.
But
it
also can
burn.
It
has an innate burn chance.
That's nice.
So,
it doesn't have eruption, but it's still got, still got that move plus overheat.
Run it with a status spam team and slap choice specs on it and just start popping those off. If something switches in and gets burned by the move, if it retains this exact effect, then next turn it does like a crazy amount of damage on top of it. So there's potential.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This definitely has a lot of potential.
And Worth noting, eruption is not learned exclusively by a regular Typhlosion. Cool Lava can learn eruption too, so that eruption isn't nice. It's not a lost move for Hisuian Typhlosion. We may see that come back while still having an extra stab to work with for the water type switch ends.
Very interesting.
Something to keep an eye on.
Good deal.
Speaking of water types, we've got the other starter, Hisuian Samurott, which gains the dark typing on top of its natural water. It's okay. Its attack and special attack stats swapped, basically.
But they were basically the same anyway.
They were pretty much the same. It was 108 and 100 across them. So this one's more physical focused. And it gained a lot of speed, though. It's base 85 speed, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, went from 70 to 85, which is nice. That's a much more usable speed tier.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Still, its signature move is not too bad. It's got a good high crit chance, but I don't know whether it's going to have this little splinter effect that was something that they added in for PLA. We'll see.
Yeah. It might be a damage over time, kind of like a fire spin type thing.
Yeah.
This is very unlikely. Very unlikely. But it may set hazards. The same thing with the Cleavor move, Stone Axe.
Yeah.
Because they changed hazards in this game from being something you hit when you switch to a DOT turn after turn for a couple turns. And Cleavor gains basically Stealth Rock essentially on that Stone Axe attack.
Which is
so
great.
That might set rocks. Cleavor might be a rock setter just by attacking. So
that's something to watch.
Yeah, that is also something to watch, just FYI, is whether the Splinter's effects replaces hazards altogether or makes, Stealth Rocks actually be an attacking move versus a status move.
Yeah, that's not something that's going to change in Sword and Shield, unfortunately, if you had to take my guess. Maybe Gen 9.
I think it would be Gen 9.
Not for a
while. If they decide to.
If anything.
Because there's a lot of little effects we can maybe touch on in a bit.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and transition to moves. We'll skip these last two because who cares about them?
Dialga's
okay,
not.
We'll touch on them.
I'll touch on them because
Dialga and Palkia get origin forms in
but
this.
They're going straight to Ubers or getting banned is one of the two. I mean, they're.
Yeah.
We're never going to see them in regular play.
And they don't really gain anything either. Dialga drops 20 attack to gain 20 special defense, so it's more of a wall. And Palkia drops 20 attack to gain 20 speed, so
which is cool.
Faster.
That is going to have an impact on the format on Ubers would be that Dialga form, because gaining that speed is big.
Yeah. They retain the same abilities of pressure and telepathy, so nothing notable there. But yeah,
and then,
the Palkia is probably the one to watch.
Yeah, in Ubers, that's the one that I would be like. Because that Palkia is like, Water Dragon's a really good typing, like in terms of resistances and decent stabs. Because it's just like the very few things kind of resist them both. Having it at 120 speed is really good. That's really fast, especially in the Ubers format where things are faster. So
I'll be intrigued to see how it performs. But yeah.
That's the one, like right now, like in. Kind of in general Ubers/Ubers draft, Palkia is kind of like both Palkia and Dialga are kind of like the middle of the road, tend to be the ones that you can pair with other Ubers. I think this Dialga form, origin form, will be, or the Palkia origin form, will be the one that boosts itself up a little higher into kind of force, like where it is borderline, where you either pair it with something like low tier Uber, like the Cinderace Libero, Lando Eye with Sheer Force, or or potentially being just kind of one of your solo, like the bottom solo Ubers, just because it's got that extra speed to make it really good. So, something to watch for sure.
All right. So let's go ahead and transition from Pokemon to moves, which have a lot of things. There are a couple new moves that we have not mentioned, or kind of briefly touched on but didn't go into. These, of course, we don't know how they're going to carry over. Base power is something that's odd in this game. So if we say, we were talking, for instance, about the Headlong Rush attack, which is something that Ursaluna uses. In this game, it's a 100 base power ground move that lowers your defensive stats. So what P. McGee was saying is it sounds like close combat, but it's weaker. However, in this game, Close combat is 100 base power. That lowers your defensive stats. So they are equivalent. The only difference is the type. So it may be 120 base power ground move. We don't know if it carries over at all.
What's worth noting, I think, with a lot of these moves is that Pokemon Legends Arceus is a single-player game. There is no balancing required for player versus player. And so there's a lot of moves in here that are clearly not balanced because they don't need to be. And so we're not sure what's going to translate over, if at all, because this could be a similar situation to Let's Go, where the exclusive Pikachu and Eevee moves have not gotten outside of that game. They've stayed in that game. So they may not escape this. I think some of these have real reason to get outside of it, but we just don't know yet. So it'll be kind of curious to see.
And as we know, Sword and Shield is no stranger to saying, no, you cannot use that here. Let's just hit a couple. There's Dire Claw that's basically Effect Spore on an attack. That's Sneasler's signature.
It gets a little bit of a boost to crits as well. So it's like a little crit boost plus true. That. It's like poison types. Not terrible, but...
Yeah, but it's weak.
Yeah.
It's 60 base power. It's nothing to be excited about.
I guess between the three of us, we can just kind of 1-2 these ones that are left. So let's go in that same order we did the tier time, boys. McGee, what's the next one?
Yeah, we got Psyshield Bash, which is Weirdear's signature move. It's, I think, kind of like a double edge. I could be wrong on that.
Raises your defenses.
Never mind. It's the opposite. So you get a little defensive boost for spamming it, which is interesting. You know, it's got 70-ish base power. I mean, there's something there, so it could make up for its lackluster defenses and then start having something, but it still can't heal. It has no healing moves, so... Eh.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, Shark, keep us going.
Raging Fury is a fire attack that 90 base power in PLA, 85 accuracy, where it inflicts damage, and then it becomes fixated on the move. In the game, when it becomes fixated, it increases the damage dealt as well as making damage you a little bit more. So there's a chance, like, it's kind of like a choice, effect type of boost on this. I don't know if that's going to carry over exactly. That's one of the, fixated is one of those statuses that in this game that is hard to code. So, because it's like rollout almost. So
where it keeps you using the same move over
and it may and maybe it is like that. It just maybe it's just like a, you know, a fire petal dance, you know.
Yeah,
who knows exactly how it is. It is for sure on Arcanine, and it is also on Infernape, which would be kind of nice to have a, you know, fire move on Infernape that's better than Fire Punch but also doesn't damage you with recoil Flare Blitz.
Moving on from something difficult to code in to something that's very, very easy, we've got Wave Crash, which is a physical water move of roughly 75 base power in Legends Arceus, and it's got a little bit of recoil. So
that's it. You'll never use this move in competitive play.
You missed the last part of its effect that actually makes it hard to code in. It raises the user's action speed.
There might be something.
So
there.
If you 75 attack that boosts your, that's basically rapid spin, but you know, a stronger rapid spin that doesn't rapid spin and recoils. Yeah, I'd use it.
Yeah,
a flame charge. That's a better comparison. Think... It's a powerful flame charge that recoils. I'd use that.
Yeah.
Then maybe there's some hope with that 78 speed, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's usable right now.
Okay, yeah,
on
flame charge,
but it's also on Empoleon, which could use the physical, you know, Defiant. Get a Defiant boost, get speed boost, and go to town.
Yep. Hit us with the next one, McGee.
Yeah, we got Esper Wing, which is Braviary's signature move. It's basically kind of like Special Psycho Cut, but it has a miss rate, and Braviary has no reason to ever run this move because it just runs Psychic, which with Sheer Force is going to hit for bonkers damage anyway. So who cares about critting when you can do crazy amounts of damage much more easily?
Exactly.
But it's a move. Cool. He has one.
It's a move. Next up, we've got Bitter Malice, which is essentially Hex, except much like Typhlosion's signature move, it can also apply a status. It applies Frostbite in this case, so it may have, a freeze chance, a burn chance, if it translates over into Sword and Shield, or they just drop that entirely and it's Hex too. So, yep. Go ahead, Shark.
And then... we've got Springtime Storm, That one's exclusive to Enamorous, so it's got 95 power, 80 accuracy, fairy special move, where if it's used on the incarnate form, it has a chance to omni boost in the game. So I don't know if it'll be like Calm Mind or truly omni boost. We'll find out that.
That'd be stupid.
And if it's used on the Therian, it'll drop the defenses of the opponent, which that could be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Keeping up with the storm moves, we've got Bleak Wind Storm, which is the signature for Tornadus. And it is similar. All these have 95 base power in here and 80 accuracy, so they might be usable. And this one has a freeze chance, essentially. It's got the frostbite thing. It's a flying move, pardon me. It is a flying type move. It has a frostbite chance. So.
It's like middle ground between Air Slash and Hurricane, so there's potentially usability for Torn.
Oh, yeah.
If it finds yep. a proper adaptation, because the freeze chance stuff obviously doesn't translate one to one. Thunderous exactly. gets Windbolt Storm, which I believe has a paralysis chance, same base power, same accuracy rate.
Correct.
Yeah, and yep. Lando gets Sandseer Storm, which is basically Scorching Sands.
Scorching Sands.
But better.
Yep.
But with Sheer Force makes it even dummy better.
But you just run Earth Power.
I would run...
That won't miss 20% of the time.
It depends. I mean, it's Stone Edge. Basically, would you use a Stone Edge or would you use Rock Slide?
Yep.
It's basically this, but this gets boosted by Sheer Force, so...
Yeah. I use Earth Power if I'm using Sheer Force. Yeah. Because then you lose the burn effect anyway.
Yeah. And then finally, for new moves that matter, we've got Lunar Blessing, Cresselia's new move. It is a move that heals half of your health, much like Recover, but it also heals status conditions.
If you thought Cresselia couldn't get any worse...
Oh boy. Holy moly. This is jungle healing times two, because that's heal status and 25% heal. This is heal and 50%. It also adds evasion in the Pokemon Legends Arceus, so that'll probably... That's one way to keep it from actually ever seeing the light of day is bulking it with double team. But yeah, that's
could be
a
scary
move.
One. I'll be watching this one with great interest.
Yeah,
especially for card formats because double team stuff is legal there.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
yeah, gross.
All right, so let's wrap it up with old stuff. That old things now learn. For instance, we mentioned one, and we mentioned it early on, but our darling baby penguin boy, now just in its level up move pool, has access to Roost.
Huge. Cannot understate how important that is for Empoleon. That has long been the thing that has held it out of OU, and so I strongly suspect that this is an OU viable Pokemon with that move now.
It might be trying to do defog with it yet, but we'll see.
Yeah, you can't.
That's
right
true.
Now as it is. If it were to be brought into OU right now, it would still have Stealth Rocks though, and still pretty good like special move pool. So it won't have Scald, but it will still do a lot of work.
Yeah, it depends on like if you can take an Empoleon from PLA. Drop it in BDSP and teach it Defog. Take it back into home and plop it in Sword and Shield. If you can do that kind of level with it, there you go. Problem solved.
Oh, yeah. It's a good... Yeah, I mean, but, even without that, I think just having Roost and Rocks alone gets it.
Roost
and
Rocks, now, Ice Beam.
Yeah, it could just kind of stand there and hold the ground, so it can just be a constant rocker and a good switch in for some, you know, the normal steel resist that you need to resist
ice
with
moves.
It. Yeah. So good answer to ice. In case we
goes
I guess...
really good with one of my other favorites.
Yeah.
So let's start from the top here, and we can kind of do the same thing that we just did with the brand new moves.
Yeah,
we can go back and
this.
Forth, and then have a little bit of chat because this is a long episode, even with the short tier time. So,
Eeveelutions.
One cool thing is Eeveelutions. All of them now gain access to Calm Mind. They didn't all have it before. So
only Espeon
that's
had
cool.
both. It's mostly notable for Vaporeon, I think.
Agreed.
Jolteon's still too frail.
Sylveon had it.
I could see Glaceon taking advantage of it in lower tiers.
Too. Yeah, I guess Glaceon as well. I don't see Jolteon making anything with it. Flareon doesn't care. Umbreon, if you're going to get, like, become an awful person and set up with Umbreon, then I guess that has some validity.
Oh, yeah.
But I think Vaporeon benefits.
Yeah, Vaporeon gets the most out of it. But I could see Jolteon, honestly, with the move pool it has. It could honestly fill a slot in the coal mine.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's easy to slap on. I just don't know how effective it makes Jolteon overall.
It can yet again become a crappier version of Raikou.
Yeah, pretty much. Poor man's Raikou.
We got Machamp with Mach Punch now. So it has, I believe it had Bullet Punch before, so this is just stab priority, which is nice. You know,
how it didn't have this?
It's a you know, it continues to be a worse version of Conkeldurr, but you know, not at least it has at least it has Mach Punch now. So if you're in a tier where Conkeldurr is banned, this Machamp is looking really fine for you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Scissor getting close combat. We kind of touched on it a little before with Cleaver, but Scizor via Scyther gets it as well, which will make it...
That is bananas.
Yep.
It had superpower before, but not dropping your attack now? Bananas.
Yeah. Huge.
Yeah. It doesn't change tremendously, but it's still a very impactful move, for sure.
Yep. Moving down the line, we've got Togekiss, which gains access to two moves, actually. It gains Calm Mind, which I'm shocked to realize it didn't have before, and now Moonblast, because its only other fairy move that really did any good job was Dazzling Gleam. So now we've got a crazy power boost there. So Calm Mind and Moonblast on Togekiss. Very good, very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of a boost, but these ones are mostly irrelevant. Honchkrow gets Air Slash, but Honchkrow primarily is a physical attacker. It has decent special attack. I think it's like a 105, so it has Air Slash now, which is kind of neat, but it's still a Honchkrow.
Yeah.
Shark, take my favorite boy.
God, they made him grosser.
Yeah, they gave Gliscor spikes, so now it has options.
I don't think people realize how scary spikes are for Gliscor. Because rocks were manageable. I think rocks were much more manageable to this generation, because if you were scared of your thing getting hit by rocks, you just slap boots on it. Spikes weren't and still aren't a common hazard in OU. You know, it's really just Ferrothorn putting those out. Maybe Mew. But you're not planning your builds around protecting your Mons from spike damage. You just protect from boots damage or from rocks damage by putting boots on your flying types. So,
and the types of teams that Gliscor will find itself on, it'll have partners like Empoleon, a rock setter or defogger, Clefable, a rock setter or annoying thing, Ferrothorn, a rock setter, spike setter, or something else. You will have all of them consistently.
This is
all of these
teams. Very scary move for Gliscor to have. And Gliscor was already solidly OU before this move. So,
and part of me for a half second here worried, oh no, if it transfers, it won't have access to its hidden ability. No, they have the hidden ability patch now in the game, so you can just make it poison heal whenever you want.
Yeah, this thing's going to be a menace. I'm scared to death.
Lando, I'd barely even know her.
This is going to be gross.
Nuts. You guys don't know what you have unleashed, Pokemon. Moving down the line, though, Ursaring gained access to High Horsepower, which it previously had access to Earthquake, but this is better because it's not hurt by grassy terrain. So... And it's not a defense dropper like the Headlong Rush. So if you want a little bit bulkier Ursaluna, this is an option.
Yep. Gardevoir, probably one of the big ones, gets Recover as well as Ice Beam and Aura Sphere. Recover is really big. You're going to see this have more value, I think, in the Nat Dex format where Mega Gardevoir is around. Because now it doesn't need to slot in Wish Protect. It can actually just slot in Recover in three attacks, or Recover, two attacks, Calm Mind.
Yeah.
So I see this having a lot of value on Mega Gardevoir, maybe on Gardevoir in lower tiers. I don't really know Gardevoir's setup in the tier it exists in.
Right now, it was used as Scarfer in the RU, but I could see it with Recover and, you know, with setup, I think it could contend with some of this, like with Ranunculus, because I think it gets a little.
Yeah.
Because Ice Beam kind of gets an Aura Sphere a little better than just relying on Focus
Aura
Blast.
Aura Sphere, though.
So it has some potential there, I think.
Yeah.
Well, be excited to see.
Mm hmm. But Torterra,
go ahead, Chuck.
Gets access to sleep powder, which is nice, giving it another little utility move that it can have in its toolkit. Leaf blade, which gives it another a different physical grass move versus compared to wood hammer and seed bomb. And then the newly headlong rush, which is basically a ground close combat. So it's got some good, it got some good pickups from this game.
Mm-hmm. On to another starter, we have Infernape, who gained Drain Punch, which it didn't have before.
Gross.
And I'll remind you,
oh,
it has
God.
Iron Fist.
Gross! No!
Iron Fist, Drain Punch.
And it also gained access to Raging Fury, but we mentioned we don't really know how or if that's going to translate over,
yeah.
So meh. But Drain Punch, Iron Fist, Infernape is silly.
Yes.
Yep. Next up, we've got Lopunny. Again, same issue as Gardevoir. These, I think, are much more valid on a Mega Lopunny than they are regular Lopunny, but it gets Mach Punch, which is good priority, and then Double Edge, which is really nice because sometimes, depending on what kind of formats you play, return may or may not be allowed. So Double Edge is just like, I'm going to nuke you now, and that's what mm-hmm. it does. So that's good for Lopunny. It has a little more utility, and it's already an increasingly good mon. So cool.
And Chatot, you know, the little niche little bird, gets access to Hurricane, Air Slash, and Snarl now. So it can actually kind of take advantage of some of its special attacks.
Nice.
Which it was previously doing with Boom Burst, but now it has two options.
Yeah, it can spam Flying, which is a very hard resist type. So, yeah.
Another slightly less notable one, Lucario gains access to Mach Punch. Previously it only had access to Bullet Punch, so that's kind of cool.
Coolio. Toxicroak gets close combat, which is actually super huge because I think Drain Punch was its best fighting attack before that. So big step up for
Chop.
So it gets a usable fighting attack to smack for damage. And then Earth Power, which I guess is a coverage move, but I don't think it runs special attack as much.
Yeah, it has access to Nasty Plot, so it has an okay enough special attack. So you could and it'd probably be more so for draft where it's like You could sneak that in and actually do pretty well, but yeah, Abomasnow actually gets a good physical ice move in Icicle Crash though. That one's pretty good for it.
Mm-hmm. Here's one we briefly touched on earlier: Petalil and Lilligant, both forms of Lilligant, gain access to Recover now. Which
they
is
had synthesis.
Good.
This is just more reliable synthesis. So nothing drastically will change with them, but it has a little more reliable of a heal.
It also has a lot more power points, too.
Yeah, double.
So that's something else that's 16 notable.
16 as opposed to 8, so that's helpful. The Pixies, so Mesprit, Uxie, Azelf, get this new move called Mystical Power, which I don't know.
It basically is like kind of like a Charge Beam-esque type thing, where it just it gives you a boost in stats either... If you're more offensive, it gets an offensive boost. If you're defensive, it gets a defensive boost.
So it's like Cosmic Power or Workup.
Yeah, potentially.
But it also does damage.
Worst case, it's like a Charge Beam. Or
yeah,
it's weird. We'll see how it actually plays, but it's actually on a 70, 80, 70 power move in the game now, which potentially puts it at 80, which is not bad when you're kind of using that kind of thing. So...
Interesting.
So you could definitely do some
a lot of these
sort
moves
of crazy
have
setup
stat
stuff with it.
Yeah. A lot of these moves had stat changing things, but that's because in this game there wasn't anything past one stage of stat boosts. So
and they just lumped them together.
They could get away with that.
As well. So Calm Mind boosted your physical
Calm
attacks.
Mind was an Omni boost. Like what?
Yeah. And then Mesprit specifically though gets Recover, which is huge because none of the Pixies had Recover, because I know that for a fact. I like Uxie just wants Recover so bad, but they give it to...
Then it didn't even...
They didn't give it to him. No, they gave it to freaking Mesprit. But Mesprit still can take advantage of it, though. At least it's not like Azelf.
Yeah. The next one is Shaymin, which gained access to Play Rough for physical things, Recover... which it didn't have before. It was a similar situation to Lilligant, where it had access to Synthesis, but not Recover. And Sleep Powder, which sounds just disgusting. Especially
is actually a good thing to get, because it gets Swords Dance access. So
really?
It doesn't have Nasty Plot or Calm Mind, I believe, but it has Swords Dance access, so it can do something with that play rough. And maybe, and again, this is a mythical with a 100 spreads, so that play rough Swords Dance set is just as valid as other setup options. You know,
yeah.
Play rough, Seed Bomb, covers movie doesn't really have a lot of other options.
Recover
but,
and other.
Yeah. So there's something there for Shaman. Good on you, Shaman.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sleep Powder for the, what's the other one? Skyform sounds disgusting to me.
Yes. Oh, yeah. That's scary. Manaphy gets Moonblast, which, cool. More coverage for Manaphy, who likes having lots of coverage, so just another little gross thing.
Yeah. All those genies get those quote storm moves, which that at current they're 95 powered, but kind of based on how they've scaled down some of these moves, it kind of feels like they're gonna be like Fire Blast Blizzard powered. So I think they're all gonna be fairly usable, even at 80 accuracy.
Yeah, I think they'll be 110 where there'll be a slightly better Hurricane exclusively for
them. Exactly,
but we'll see. Landorus. This is kind of a sleeper option. Of the genies, Landorus specifically gets access to Crunch.
Actually a big deal with Sheer Force.
With the Sheer Force Incarnate set, that could come in clutch somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Because knockoff like seems cool on Incarnate, but it has a lot of base power loss and you don't get the Sheer Force boost. So Crunch getting the Sheer Force plus the Life Orb boost is kind of gross. Mm-hmm. Avalug gets the aforementioned Ice Shard, which cool. I think Avalug is still a trash Pokemon and they made it even worse. Yep. But it could theoretically 1v1 a Garchomp or a Landorus.
Stop
so
it.
I guess it's a good
Gliscor.
Pokemon. They,
probably Gliscor.
No, I think it's
not that one though. Not this Avalug that gets the Ice Shard because it's Hisuian and it's weak to ground.
Well the Bergmite gets it. Bergmite gets it.
Oh, okay. Does it? Okay.
There's maybe hope, but it's still Avalon. I still think it's hot garbage.
So yeah, that's
finish us off. Tell us about the last one with its other garbage move.
Braviary gets Double Edge, which again, it's better for formats where it can't use Return.
Yeah,
but still, Sheer Force Double Edge on a Braviary is still gross.
Mm-hmm.
But Sheer Force doesn't matter for Double Edge.
Oh yeah, right. No, it's Flare Blitz. You're right. Flare Blitz because of the burn. Yeah. Yep. You're right.
That would be scary. That would be horrifying.
Yeah. And with that, we are sitting at the end of probably the longest battle cast I've ever recorded, and we'll go ahead and cut it off here. We'll do our little outro. No team of the episode because we've all been playing Legends Arceus, and teams of the episode don't matter here. So
six.
I can tell
best.
You what I did
That's
my end game
of the episode.
Yep.
The team of the episode,
that was
Gudra.
On my in-game team. Heck yeah, Gudra's god tier.
And Ursaluna.
Yeah, but if you like what you hear, you can listen to us on the main feed, Puckle, which comes out every Monday. You can also listen to us on the Puckle Plus feed with an episode of something every Thursday. And important places to go are the Twitter for Puckle, the Facebook for Puckle, and most importantly, the Discord for Puckle. That's where all the things happen, including some of these tournaments that we've mentioned and some of the ones that are coming up. There is the Draft League that is imminently approaching. There's all of our other tournaments that happen on Discord as well. So definitely join us there if you like what you hear.
Don't forget, you can watch us on Twitch and on YouTube.
Yeah. I always forget that.
Twitch, there's a weekly stream for the Emerald Nuzlocke going on, as well as which is put up on YouTube as well. And there's a YouTube exclusive Soul Silver Nuzlocke series, which you get to hear some of the lovely co-hosts hang out with Thatch as he plays through Soul Silver.
Yeah, I was with him when he did the Slowpoke well. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I record with him tomorrow, so stay tuned for that awful episode when I guide him and his Pokemon to their death.
Yeah, you should probably be... I think you're probably going to be approaching that fight, the Miltank fight, so...
That
Ooh,
fight.
Ooh, man, I'm game-overing on this one. Stay tuned, guys.
No, I'm sure you're fine.
If you're not, if you
Whitney's
haven't...
Whitney's gonna...
If not, you're finding out afterwards. We'll see.
Exactly. If you no longer hear from P. McGee, he's been fired because of that recording.
Because Whitney has rolled me out of Puckle.
Yep. But with that, I think that covers all of our typical outro things. So, until next month, and when we hopefully get to use all of these things in our regular ladders,
I have been Seth Vilo.
I have been P. McGee.
And I've been Shark Finnegan.
And we'll catch you guys next month.
Peace.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.